shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and truly repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, who heartily repent of your sins, believe on Jesus Christ, and sincerely and earnestly purpose, by the assistance of God the Holy Ghost, henceforth to amend your sinful lives. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The introit. The Lord hath brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. Alleluia, that his law might continually be in your mouth. Alleluia, alleluia.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among his people.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord hath brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. Alleluia. That his law might continually be in your mouth. Alleluia, alleluia. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, good will toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God,
away the sin of the world. Have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art Lady, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who through thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has overcome death and opened unto us the gate of everlasting life, we humbly beseech thee that as thou dost put into our minds good desires, so by thy continual help we may bring the same to good effect. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Easter Monday is from the 13th chapter of Hosea. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. Here ends the reading. The second reading is from the 10th chapter of Acts. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness, that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Here ends the epistle. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Alleluia, alleluia. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not find, they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Hymn 145 in your blue hymnal. Suffered this, in whom my heart is pleased. He has fulfilled the law of God for me. God's wrath he has appeased, since he in death could perish never. I also shall not die forever. I am content. I am content. I am content. My Jesus is my head. His member I shall be. He bowed his head when on the cross he died, with Christ of agony. Now death is brought into subjection, for me to by his resurrection. I am content, I am content. I am content, my Jesus is my light, my radiant sun of grace. His cheering rays beam blessings forth for all, sweet comfort, hope, and peace. This Easter sun has brought salvation and everlasting exaltation. I am content. I am content. I am content. At length I shall be free, awaken from the dead, arising glorious evermore to be. With you, my living head, my Lord's earth-binding fetters sever, then
then shall my soul rejoice forever. I am content. I am content.
Our sermon text is from Luke 24, verses 25 and 26. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe, in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When it comes to the demons, Jesus rebukes them every time. However, it's pretty seldom do we find Jesus giving a stinging rebuke to his disciples and believers. He does it more often with his enemies. He especially does it with those who are in the pastoral office and were not doing their job and the people were being led astray. Well, let's take a look at a few examples. Mark 10, 13 and 14 says, Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. So when the disciples tried to stop the children from being brought to Jesus by rebuking the parents, Jesus steps in, and the text records his great displeasure and his firm command, Let the little children come to me. Matthew 16, 21 and 22, from the time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day, then Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. And Jesus is quite firm in his scolding. He says, Matthew 16, verse 23, Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. In Mark 8, it actually uses the word rebuke, that he rebuked Peter. Another passage, Luke 19, 38, it says, Some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd and said, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Not only does Jesus refuse to rebuke, but he says the believers have to rejoice and praise God for the mighty works of Jesus. In Luke 9, though, 37 and following, a man brought his son, asked the disciples to drive out the demon. Jesus gives a general scolding, not just to the disciples, but to more, when he says this, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. And it's quite unusual that Jesus would speak in this way, and maybe more surprising that he would refer to them as faithless, oh faithless, that those who are without faith. But I will mention Mark's longer ending. He does have words which say, Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had been sent, those who had seen him after he had risen. And these words are consistent with today's gospel reading, which is Luke 24. In today's text, what do we have? Well, we have two men leaving Jerusalem, going to Emmaus. They were followers of Jesus, but now they're going home. They've stuck around for 3 days, but now they are done. These men, from their words, they know that it was the Jewish Sanhedrin that are responsible for the crucifixion that was conducted by the Roman government. They properly say that the Jews handed him over to be condemned and crucified. These men make it clear they consider Jesus to be the Old Testament promised Messiah. These men know that the Messiah had the spiritual purpose of redeeming Israel. That's what they say. They were not looking for a political revolutionary, but a savior. And they believed that Jesus would make that appropriate sacrifice, and that by means of that payment, he would set the believers free from their sins. But it has now been 3 days, and nothing has happened. Finally, something has happened, though, that's got them dumbfounded. The women, which they don't believe, went to the tomb, saw an angel, which said that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, the women also saw Jesus, appeared to them on the way, but they don't even mention that. Peter and John, having heard from the women, go back to the tomb. They find it empty, but no Jesus. It's all quite unusual, and it is troubling. It is at this point that Jesus says to them, "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" It's a rebuke, I tell you. Jesus says that they are not thinking ones or dullards. Did Jesus just say that they were a dunce or a blockhead? Well, yes, I think he did. And then he tells them that they are slow. Slow. It's taken you a long time to figure this out. Something which they should have already known. These two criticisms, not thinking and slow, are both related to the very issue at hand, which is believing in all that the prophets have spoken. You see, faith rests upon the statements of the prophets, and the prophets have clearly spoken about the Messiah and his redemption. These two men have understood some of the things, but they are not thinking and they are slow regarding the other things. Jesus said that they need to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. And most important and relevant to their discussion in the events of Easter Sunday are believing all that has been spoken concerning the suffering of Christ and then the entering into his glory. Somehow they have missed this. They have missed the necessity of the death and resurrection of the Messiah. Now, without a doubt, the prophets have spoken about these things, and faith is grounded in the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. They should have learned these things, and then they should have known the necessity of these things coming to pass. Jesus speaks of the necessity of these actions. If the prophets spoke about it, he says, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So, Jesus is telling them, as well as us this day, he's telling us not to be foolish, nor don't be slow of heart, but foolish and slow of heart to believe. Yes, we can know that if the prophetic and apostolic scriptures speak of these things, then they will surely happen. When God gives us his word, then you can place your faith in its occurrence. For no divine prophecy can possibly fail. It must happen. Ought this not to? Yes, it must. And today's Old Testament reading from Hosea 13:14 clearly says, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction." Our God has given us his word. There will be a defeat of death and the grave. And thus we profess in the Nicene Creed, "I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." Note that. I look for it. I'm looking for it. I'm expecting it. Why? Because I know. Because of all the prophets and the apostles have written. Ought not this to happen? Well, sure it will. St. Paul similarly cites Isaiah 25:8 and Hosea 13:14 when he's teaching about the resurrection of the dead in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal life has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Isaiah 25. "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" Hosea 13. "No, Jesus the Christ has risen from the dead, and by this he has given a stinging rebuke of death and a stinging rebuke to hell." So what Jesus does for these two men, what does he do for them if you happen to be a dullard and slow to believe? "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." The answer to foolishness and slowness to believe is to present the Word of God. The Word of God will drive out all foolishness and take away the reluctance of doubt. Here is what God says. Here is where we will find Jesus giving us his promises. Believe it and trust in the foundation of your salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. The offertory on page 18. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy Spirit. Let us pray. O Almighty and Eternal God, who through the death of thy Son hath destroyed sin and death, and by his rising to life again restored innocence and everlasting life, that we, being delivered from the power of the devil, might live unto thee and thy kingdom, we beseech thee to grant that we may evermore be comforted by true faith in the resurrection of thy dear Son. Do thou also, by the operation of thy quickening Spirit, fulfill thy work in us, that we live no more unto ourselves, but that thou livest in us by thy divine power, making us perfect in every good work to do thy will, and working in us that which is well-pleasing in thy sight. Let not the thought of death fill our hearts with terror, but give us the blessed assurance that, like unto Christ our head, we shall not remain in our graves, but rise again at the end of days. And when we have finished our course by thy grace, may thy resurrection be to our faith a sure plague, that an unfading inheritance is reserved for us in heaven. O thou God of peace, who hast brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, draw our souls and bodies at the last perfectly to thee, that we may live with thee and praise thee world without end. Dearly beloved, for as much as we purpose to come to the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, it becometh us diligently to examine ourselves as St. Paul exhorteth us. For this holy sacrament hath been instituted for the special comfort and strengthening of those who humbly confess their sins and who hunger and thirst after righteousness. But if we thus examine ourselves, we shall find nothing in us but only sin and death, from which we can in no wise set ourselves free. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ hath had mercy upon us, hath taken upon himself our nature, that so he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and for us and for our deliverance suffer death and all that we by our sins have deserved. And to the end, that we should the more confidently believe this, and be strengthened by our faith in a cheerful obedience to his holy will, he hath instituted the holy sacrament of his supper, in which he feedeth us with his body and giveth us to drink of his blood. Therefore, whoso eateth of this bread and drinketh of this cup, firmly believing the words of Christ, dwelleth in Christ, and Christ in him, and hath eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, and rendering unto him most hearty thanks for the same, take up our cross and follow him. And according to his commandment, love one another, even as he hath loved us. For we are all one body, and one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink of this one cup. I will wash my hands in innocency, and so will I compass thine altar, O Lord.
To the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee. O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, but chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us and hath taken away the sin of the world, who by his death has destroyed death, and by it his rising to life again has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy,
Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of
that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace. Amen.
I take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for my sins.
Thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to light and the Gentiles.
glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks unto thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee of thy mercy. Thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.